hillside, people were gathered, hoping to see him as thousands were fed. He touched the blind eyes, he healed broken spirits, moved with compassion, he raised up the dead. Once on a hillside, people were gathered, watching as Jesus was crucified. No one showed mercy to the one who had healed them. Yet Jesus loved them as he suffered and died. Oh, once on a hillside, people were gathered, for Jesus had risen, and soon
song. What a blessed subject for the song. What a great expectation that waits each of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's singing about not only the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's talking about His ascension and His second coming. He's coming again. Thank the Lord. Open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. While you're finding your place, I want to give everybody that one last opportunity. If you have not received a brochure, a catalog for our missions conference, we want you to have one of these, so please take it. And if you have not received your faith promise commitment card, we want you to get one of those. Many of us have already filled ours out and turned it in, and at the end of the service, the rest of you will have an opportunity to join us, and tonight all of those will have been totaled up, and we'll have our victory service, and we'll share with you just exactly how much of that $420,000 has come in, been promised for world missions in this next year, plus how much of the $85,000 has come in for our bus ministry. And so be sure and take one of these. If you have not received one of these, let's do it this way. If you have already received a faith promise commitment card. Stand up. If you have one in your possession or you filled it out and turned it in, stand up if you will. All right, the rest of these people need at least a faith promise card and one of these per family. So make sure they get it, ushers. Go down the aisles. We need an usher down this aisle and over here, that's right. If you've already filled yours out and turned it in, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? It won't take but just a moment. Our missions ministry is carried on by faith, promise, giving from our people. We give our tithes and offerings for the support of the ministry of this church, and our missions ministry is carried on through personal, individual faith promise commitments for world missions. And we give it weekly, monthly, bi-monthly, however we get our income and so forth. Hey guys, did you miss these on here? Let's make sure this front row gets them. Man, we've got Napoleon down here and a guy in Bermuda shorts. No, I don't know what that is. And three French maidens. All right. Everybody, you have one of these? Good. All right, we'll wait just a moment. If you sit on the front, you're going to participate. That's just one of the rules that goes with the front. Best seats in the house, front seats. Okay? But you don't sleep on the front seat. You can't hide on the front seats. It's the reason we call the ones in the backsliders' rows. All right, thank you. You may be seated. The title of my message this morning is The Poor Little Widow and the Mean Demanding Preacher. The Poor Little Widow and the Mean Demanding Preacher. Begin to read with me in verse number 8 of 1 Kings chapter 17. And out of love and respect for the Word of God, let's stand as I begin to read in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying," that's Elijah, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now notice in those two verses, it doesn't take God long to convey His will to a person. Many of you are wanting God to come down and write an essay about His will for your life, and you want Him to do certain things to make it supernaturally known to you. It doesn't take God long to speak His will, and if we're close to being right, it ought not take much to get us to move into the will of God. So Elijah arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now she didn't have much, just enough meal to make a cake and enough oil to mix with the meal to hold it together. She didn't need much fire to cook that little cake. She is gathering two little sticks to make a fire. And the big, mean, demanding preacher had already asked her for a drink of water. And now he says, "Make me a cake first." She just had enough for one cake. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, and make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus the Lord said, for thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Elijah's that big, mean, demanding man of God. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. That many days means more than a year until the drought came to an end. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Father, help me this morning to take this message and convey a message for our people, starting with this preacher, so that we might understand not only the responsibility we have to obey God, but the blessings and the miracles that take place when we trust him by faith and do what he's asked us to do. Now, Lord, some in here today need to trust you first and foremost as their Savior. They've never been saved. They know not what it is to be born again. If they should die today, they don't know that they'd go to heaven. And yet, they're here today, and I believe they're saying by their presence, I sure don't want to go to hell. But there's not one chance in 10 million a person can avoid hell without accepting Jesus as their Savior. I'm asking you to save them today. And then, Heavenly Father, use this message to stir the hearts of every one of us in reference to what you have commanded every Christian to do concerning world missions. You've told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every Christian. You've made it possible that some can actually go as missionaries. And in your plan, you've made it possible that the rest of us might be able to send them and support them and pray for them, and in so doing, becoming partners with them in the great work of God. Now help us, Lord God, to quit making excuses, but just simply trust and obey, doing exactly what you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I've stated the title of this message this morning as The Poor Widow Woman and the Mean Demanding Preacher, because that's the way much of society and many in our local churches think about the man of God when he preaches on giving or tithing or missions. It's offensive to some people because of a selfish heart that's not right with God. Here is a story of God using his big, mean, demanding preacher to convey an unpopular message during a very difficult time. The difficult time was a time of great drought and famine, where people were dying without water to drink or food to eat. The unpopular message for a poor widow woman with a hungry son was simply this: God said, give the man of God water to drink and make a cake for him out of your last meal and oil. She was going to eat that cake, she and her son, with nothing else to eat, no other resources. They were going to eat it and die. That's what she said. That's what the scripture says. But let us not forget that Elijah, this big, mean, demanding preacher, had been sent to Zarephath and to this widow woman by God himself with a message that God had commanded her to feed him. Now, listen, this is important. Before that preacher ever got there, God had already been there. In verse number 9, he said, Elijah, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, the amazing thing about it, Zarephath was a pagan country. It was not part of the promised land. It was not for God's people. It was the Baal worshipers and the Ashtaroth worshipers. Hey, Zarephath and that land was the hometown of Jezebel, the hater of Elijah. God said, I've already been there, I've already talked to her, and I've commanded her to feed you. Obedience to God sometimes puts His servants in a smelting furnace of trials and testing. The meaning of the word Zarephath is smelting furnace. In reality, it was a smelting furnace to Elijah because it was the hometown of his fierce enemy Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab. She had already put a price on Elijah's head, and he was a fugitive as far as Jezebel was concerned. And God sent him to her hometown. Elijah had to obey God if he was going to enjoy God's blessings and protection. And let me say to you, it was safer. Is that a word? It is now. It is safer, or more safe, for Elijah in Jezebel's hometown in the will of God than it was back in the promised land without God. Now, it was a smelting furnace because it was outside of the promised land for God's people. God had sent this big, mean, demanding preacher into a pagan land where they practiced the worship of Baal and Ashtaroth. It was a smelting furnace because it was a 100-mile journey from where Elijah was in the midst of a famine and drought. In the best of times, it was a desert area, and yet Elijah obeyed God. This morning, I want you to consider simply four thoughts as seen in this amazing story of the poor widow woman and the mean, demanding preacher. First of all, the divine importance of being where God puts us doing what He tells us to do. There is a divine importance of being where God puts us doing what He tells us to do. Let me say to you, beware of just running off somewhere because a better financial offer is made to you. Beware of jumping ship when God does not lead you. I'm telling you, there is a place where God puts us. It's not important just to move where you want to and join any church you want to. God has a place for your life. At this time in your life, God has a place for your life. He intends for every one of His children to be in the house of God, a church of the living God, and make it their church. That's God's will for your life. Elijah was first commanded to tell Ahab, the king, that God was going to judge him because of his wickedness. That's verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 17. He was then commanded to go up to the brook Cherith, and God would send ravens to feed him there. Elijah obeyed God. And God's provision and God's blessings for Elijah came by the ravens to the exact spot God told him to go. Have you ever wondered why maybe you're missing the blessings of God in your life? It could be because you're not there where God told you to be. You're not in the place of God's will for your life. These ravens didn't have a GPS looking for Elijah. God had instructed them to go to a particular place, and Elijah was there. It helps us if we'll learn to be there in the place of God's will for our life. Elijah, when the brook dried up, God said, Elijah, now then, I want you to go down to Zarephath in Zidon, and I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God's will for Elijah's life was now down in Zarephath, outside of the promised land. 100-mile journey. By the way, he didn't have a bus or a train or an airplane. He made that journey. And when he got there, the little widow woman was there where God told him she'd be. The importance of being exactly where God puts us. God directs us. I believe there's a lot of Christians missing the blessings of God on their life because they're living their life outside of the place of their will, the there God intended for them. Elijah obeyed God. And the Bible tells us that the widow woman was there just as God said. Now, just as Elijah had some places where God told him to go there, we have some places in our Christian life where God commands us to go. God has a place of ministry for your life. God has a church. This old idea that all churches are the same, it makes no difference, that's a bunch of hogwash. God has a place for your life. He intends for you to be a part of a local New Testament church and serve God there. There's where God's provisions are going to be. There's where God's direction and message is going to be. You see, there is the place of the will of God for our life. We can't live outside of there and be in the will of God. There is the place of God's protection for our life. Wonder why everything's going wrong when we're trying to do it our way as Christians and not God's way? There is the place of God's protection for our life. There is the place of God's power for our life. Boy, we need God's anointing on us if we're going to make it through this wicked world. And God's power is provided for us when we are there in the will of God for our life. And there is the place of God's provision for our life. God has made provision for us. We may be living in a world of famine and drought, but God will take care of His people if we're in the place of the will of God. We can enjoy the protection of God and the power of God and the provision of God, just like Elijah did. So number one, the importance of being exactly where God puts us, doing what God has given us to do. Number two, I want you to think about the miraculous results of obeying God. Now let me stop and say to you that the days of miracles are not over. I believe that God still does miracles today for His people. Now I believe many times God has used the normal circumstances of His life to provide for His children, but when those cannot be provided through normal circumstances and channels, God can use miraculous ways and means of providing for His people. I've seen it. I've experienced it. And it's a wonderful thing when you're there in the will of God, doing what God's told you to do, and you see God intervening for you over and over and over again. Verse 15, Elijah needs were supplied when he obeyed God there at Cherith. And there at Zarephath. Missionaries understand what I'm talking about. Can you imagine going to a foreign field? You've left your loved ones. You've left your security at home. You've left your language. You've left all of these things behind, and you're going to a place where you don't know anybody. You can't speak their language. And all you have is the direction and the promise of God. Can I tell you, that's more than enough. It was more than enough for Elijah, and it's more than enough for our missionaries. It's more than enough for God's preachers. And if you'd learn to trust and obey God and find the place that's called there for your life, it's more than enough for you as well. The miracles. In verse 15 and 16, we read about a poor widow and her son and their need. They had one meal left and they're going to eat it and die. They obeyed God. And God supplied for them meals every day throughout that drought, simply because a little widow woman heard God's message, believed Him, used what faith she had and obeyed God. And God worked a miracle and provided for her family on the basis of her faith and obedience. By the way, moms and dads, did you ever stop to think your family is depending on you to trust and obey God? You want God's blessings, God's provisions, God's power, God's protection for your family? You're not going to get it disobeying God. You're not going to enjoy it running from God. We've got to learn like this little widow woman who had only enough faith to believe God. I believe she is unsaved until God spoke to her heart. She didn't know anything about the Bible. But God spoke to her heart. I remember when God spoke to my heart as a lost sinner. I knew what I needed. I needed Him. And I couldn't have Him without accepting Him and trusting Him. The poor widow's son, because she obeyed God, was raised from the dead as a result of Elijah obeying God and going down to Zarephath. Here this preacher obeyed God, and the result, a widow woman kept from starving to death, her son was kept from starving to death, plus the boy's life was saved twice. Read the rest of chapter 17. Have you ever wondered what miracle results, miraculous results are awaiting you if you just learn to trust and obey God? May I suggest that just using what faith you have to trust God and obey God would revolutionize your home? It'd change your future. But somewhere, we've got to begin by stepping out by simple faith and trusting Him as Savior. That's where it begins. You say, well, where do I get that faith? God gives it to you. It's a gift of God, the Bible says. You hear the Word of God preached, and God gives you faith to believe Him. To believe Him. God spoke to that little widow woman, and she used what faith God gave her, and she believed the message of that big, mean preacher. And she obeyed God. What's waiting you if you had learned to obey and trust God? And thirdly, faith always awaits God's plan and a word from God. Faith always awaits God's plan and a word from God. This little widow woman didn't come up with this notion on her own. If I feed Elijah, God will take care of my family. See, God had already met with her before Elijah ever went there. The Bible says in verse 9, God said, Elijah, I have already commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God had already met with her. She knew what God's word was and God's will. She had a word from God. By the way, we have a word from God concerning missions. We have a word of God concerning soul winning. We have a word of God concerning worship and service and living our life to honor and glorify the Master. Now, with that Word of God, there is a responsibility on every one of us to obey God. Do what God asks us to do. You say, well, God's going to hurt me. Yes, like He hurt the little widow woman. God saved their life and saved her son's life twice because she heard and obeyed God. I'm here to tell you, some of you have chosen to live in the area of drought and famine in your Christian life simply because you've refused to believe and obey God. I'm here to tell you, God's trustworthy. We need to learn to trust Him and obey Him. This big, mean preacher, he was a demanding preacher, but he had to obey God for his life or miss the provisions of God. He had to act by faith when he was told to go up to Ahab and tell him God was going to judge him. He had to act in obedience and faith to go down to Zarephath and tell a little widow woman about to starve to death. I'll be honest with you. Most preachers said, Lord, give me a millionaire. Give me somebody that's got everything. God said, no, it's not that person I'm really going to use to provide your means. I'm going to provide your means through that person. So he chose somebody that had nothing. And Elijah obeyed God, and God provided his needs. So the man of God's got to obey God too. You think the big mean preachers today asking you to give and tithe and support missionaries are doing something they're not doing? If they are not tithing and giving, they're out of the will of God. They're backslidden. They have no right to stand in the pulpit and preach the Word of God. But I want you to know God does not expect me to tithe and give any more than He expects you. God does not expect me to be involved in missions any more or less than He expects you. And we've got to learn to obey Him. The poor widow woman had to obey God or she would have died of starvation. By acting by faith, she saved her life and saved the life of her son twice. Now listen to these two statements that I'm about to make. Unbelief sees only the circumstances around us. And some of you in your unbelief are making reasons, you're writing down, you're conjuring up reasons why you can't do anything for world missions. Well, I give a little tithe, that's enough. I'm asking you to do what God's asked you to do. And unbelief always sees the circumstances and ignores the will of God. But listen to this next statement. Faith always puts God between me and you and our circumstances. Yes, these are tough times, but faith puts God between us and the tough times. I'd rather trust God than Congress. I'd rather trust God than Obama. I'd rather learn to trust God than my ability. I'd rather trust God than the company I'm working for. Just so happens my company is His. I'd rather trust God than General Motors or Ford or Chrysler. I'd rather trust God than the bank. If we're ever going to have God's blessings in our life, then by faith, we've got to trust God, and faith always puts God between us and the circumstances. Now, lastly, let's make the application of this divinely inspired story as it pertains to me and you. How do we apply this to us? First of all, may I say to you, there were many poor widows in Israel, but God bypassed them to go to a pagan land and a pagan widow in Zarephath. Wonder why God bypassed all the poor widows in Israel. Well, God was looking for someone in need who would, by faith, trust and obey Him. I'm sad to tell you, our churches come to the place where we get so accustomed. We begin to take things for granted and God for granted, and we get the idea, well, I've done my job. I've served my term. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else give to support missions. Let somebody else teach the Sunday school class. Let somebody else run the bus routes and drive the buses. I've served my time. Hey, it's not a prison sentence. It's a ministry. It's an opportunity to serve God. And many times, God bypasses Christian people and starts out with an old boy that for the first time puts his trust in God, just like he did this poor little widow woman. He was looking for someone who, in need, would by faith trust and obey him. And by the way, it doesn't matter who you are or where you're from, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Our church is in a dangerous place today. We're no longer a new church just starting out. We've seen God's blessings and provision so long that we take them for granted. We just assume that it's going to be there. Some of you have come to this church for years and you've never seen a Sunday morning where somebody hadn't been saved. And you think it's just going to happen. You don't witness. You don't talk to anyone. You don't pass out tracts. You don't invite anyone. You're taking your church for granted. You're presuming upon God. And when God has something to do with blessings connected to it, He'll have to bypass us and look for someone new with brand new faith to trust Him with, like He looked for this little widow woman. If we don't continue to trust Him and by faith obey Him, He'll take these many years of blessings and provisions. He'll give them to some new Christian in a pagan land or some new church where they're hungry to trust Him and see Him work. Just as God used the great need of food and provision to test Philip at the feeding of the 5,000. You can read about it in John chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. He's going to use this Faith Promise Missions Conference to prove you and me this week. Will He bypass you because of lack of faith? Or will He use you and bless you because you use what faith you have and trust Him, obey Him, and get involved? Many are missing God's blessings and miracles in their life because some think they've done enough. Some think that the problems of our day are too great for them to give to missions. And others have just grown cold and selfish and hard toward the will of God, especially in the area of missions and giving. God is looking for someone who will use what faith they have. God's not saying, "I'm looking only for those with a truckload of faith." He's not saying, "I'm looking for those with a boxcar full of faith." He's looking for someone that's just started out. You had enough faith to step out and receive Jesus as your Savior. And you're willing to take that next step and trust Him and obey Him. By the way, God wants to grow us in faith. He never grows us in faith until we obey Him where we are. God said to this little widow woman, "I've commanded you to feed him." Elijah came and he said, "Give me a drink of water." You say, "That's no big deal." Hey, it was a drought. Water was in short supply, but she trusted God and gave him water. Then God took her to another level. "Give me that meal and that flour. Make a cake." God wants to grow us in our faith. He wants to grow us in our faith. When I started in Faith Promise Missions Giving, way back in the 60s, my Faith Promise commitment the first time was $3 a week. But I used what faith I had and I started where I was. And now then, my Faith Promise commitment and giving is more than what my tithe would be if that's all I gave. God's a good God. Now, God's not asking you necessarily to start where I am. I hope you have been giving and you have grown. But God is asking for every one of us to get started somewhere, to get involved. This year, I've taken another step. Have you? Have you? And by the way, my income has not increased. My income has gone down this year. Faith is not based on my income. Faith is based on my God and a word from my God. It's not poor economy that's our problem. It's poor faith that's our problem. God's looking for someone who will use what faith they have and just trust Him and obey Him. He'll even start with a pagan, an unsaved who will trust Him and obey Him. She used what light she had, and God grew her from there until she experienced miracles in her life. Miracles. Faith, when used to obey God, will grow into greater faith. After she gave Him a drink of water, He asked her for a cake first. Her obedience required a growth in faith. And by the way, for you to obey God, it's going to require that your faith grows also. God extended his blessing to this little widow woman on the basis of her faith and obedience to this big, mean, demanding preacher. By the way, don't get upset when the preacher said, God said, do it. Who else is going to God use? Oh, me. Obama's not going to tell you to give to missions. Governor's not going to tell you. The mayor's not going to tell you. Colleges are not going to tell you. You're not going to get it in our public school system. Where are you going to hear about? Where are you going to hear the message and learn how to tithe and give by faith and support missions around? Where are you going to hear it? God calls out mean, demanding preachers. That's what society looks at us. And we've got to obey God, or we'd be in the same condition some of you are that have not obeyed God in the matter of giving. Well, let me finish. This morning, I'm doing what I am commanded to do. The truth is that I'm telling you what God has commanded every Christian to do. We're to get involved in fulfilling the great commission of our Lord. Some of you, God is calling you like He called Elijah. He's calling you to go someplace and tell others about Jesus. Every one of us, God's calling to get involved in world missions giving. I say again, some of our greatest missions givers in Trinity Baptist Church are our missionaries sent out from our church. Missions is God's program to evangelize the world. He intends for every one of His children to act by faith, obey Him, and have a personal part in His program. This means that demanding preachers have got to obey God and preach the message. And poor little widow women, people on fixed income, hardworking men and women, teenagers, junior high boys and girls, junior boys and girls, primary boys and girls that are saved are responsible to obey God and use what faith we have, start where we are, and begin to give to God. What's in your future? I don't know. But there's something in your future that demands obedience to God if you're going to have His blessings tomorrow. I don't know what it is, but God does. But may I say to you, just as God was trying to get this little widow woman in a place where He could work a miracle to provide her needs, I believe with all my heart God's trying to get us in the place where He can work that miracle to provide our needs and bless us beyond anything we've understood. Have you obeyed Him? Will you obey Him? Are you doing what you can to obey Him? Some of you this morning, here's your first need. You came to church not knowing that Jesus is your Savior, or heaven is your home. What you need first and foremost is to accept Christ as Savior. You say, preacher, I want to be saved, I want to go to heaven, but I don't know how. If you'll come this morning in this invitation, we'll have someone take you aside and lovingly take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Everybody who's ever gotten saved, they'd get saved the same way. They'd become trusting Jesus as their Savior. You can be saved today. God has promised that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God has promised that all who come unto Him, He'll not cast one out. Your first responsibility, if you want God in your life, is to trust Him this morning as your Savior. You'll have that opportunity at this invitation. And then to every Christian, if you don't have a church home where you can serve God, God wants you to get there. He has that place for your life. And you need to get in that place and begin to obey Him with your life. Some of you have been saved, but you've never been baptized scripturally after you got saved. You need to come today and follow the Lord in believer's baptism and begin that wonderful journey of serving Him and obeying Him. Some of you today, you've already been saved. You're in the church where God wants you to be. You've been scripturally baptized. Some of you have never learned to give your tithes and offerings. You've never learned to give to missions. God is putting you on notice that that's the next step in your life. You're never going to grow beyond where you are if you don't obey God about what He's already asked you to do. And He asked every one of us to give our tithes and offerings and support missions. Some of you have never gotten involved in Faith Promise. God would have you to get started today where you are. You say, I don't have a lot of faith. Well, use what you have and start there. And if you'll obey God there, you'll see faith begin to grow. And God's confidence and God's trust in you and God's entrusting to you, blessings will increase, but not without using what faith you have to obey Him. Now, Father, that's our message this morning. It's not a great Sunday morning message for evangelism, but this is Mission Sunday, and we're trying to raise a budget to send missionaries around the world throughout this coming year. Speak to our hearts and help us to do what You've asked us to do. And then, Heavenly Father, there's some here that's not saved, and it's not Your will they die and go to hell. You'd like for them to be saved and know it. I'm asking You today to save them this very morning. Lord God, there's not a person in here that does not know